Breaking news today on Seculo as China unifies Congress.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110 to weigh in on this. It is TikTok that has unified Congress together. So again, a Chinese Communist Party owned company, TikTok, which was almost banned once under the Trump administration. There was work being done there, and then TikTok quickly got a U.S. subsidiary and slowed down some of that work, and then a new administration came in. But this came from, again, the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. The TikTok issue is we've got bipartisan legislation coming from both Senator Thune on the Republican side, Senator Warner on the Democrat side, which is unique in itself that you've got even Republicans and Democrats coming together. The White House is agreeing. Now, it's not a full ban.
That's right.
I think how I would like to say this is probably the best you could do to get bipartisan support on anything right now. What it does allow is the Commerce Department to come in and ultimately, it's called the Restrict Act, and it would allow the Congress to come in and restrict it. Yeah. So it would start a new process, basically.
And look, we've seen a lot of movement in terms of the federal government actually getting involved in this and saying, making statements, banning TikTok, or saying you have 30 days to remove it from your federal devices. We've seen a lot of state-run governments say, hey, you're not allowed to use TikTok on state-run internet. There's actual movement happening right now, which I think we're all a little surprised by. Like you said, this may not be what everyone wants. It's at least a bipartisan move, something you rarely see. It may be under this administration could at least be a step towards something in terms of just the widespread usage of an app that has had so many issues over the last few years.
Yeah, the bigger piece of legislation, what they've done is they're not just singling out China, but they're saying it would give more power to regulate tech produced by six countries that have adversarial relationships with the U.S., China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and Venezuela. Again, some of this, I think, you know, it's very TikTok specific because we've all learned about the terms and services. We've learned about the way the Chinese government requires any of these Chinese companies to give them full access to all information whenever they want. So it's not just like they're hacking their own hacking companies internally. That's part of the law in China, is that if you have a business like this, they get access to all of the back-end information and all the information on users. We know they're tracking your actual keystrokes. So we've seen the Biden White House has banned this on use on federal phones or federal devices. And we've seen states, like you said, say can't use it on our Wi-Fi. Right. So there's this mixture of like, how do you actually ban it? And we haven't gotten to the point of actually banning it yet.
No, but at least there are steps. Yeah. And that's something shocking to see from your federal government. Actual steps being made to potentially get there. A lot of time, yes, this is proposed legislation. This isn't anything set in stone. But you have the White House signaling this is something that they could support. You have the American people actually saying, yeah, we think there could be some issues here with TikTok. As you said, they kind of punted it down the road during the Trump administration by creating the American subsidiary, talked with them. You know, they've had a whole situation there. But now we still know that the back end, like you said, the data information seems to be still being shared in a way that is uncomfortable. At least that's what you got to say. If it's uncomfortable for your federal government and your state governments to do it, not just your Republican run who see, you know, the Democrats may say the Republicans think of China as like a boogeyman. Clearly not when you're shooting down their balloons and you're banning their most popular export right now, which would probably be TikTok.
Oh, definitely.
The most popular influence.
It's the number one app in the world.
Yeah.
And I believe the number one app in the United States. So
typically,
if they start losing the ability to be on Wi-Fi networks or on devices itself, in a sense, you might never have to actually fully ban them.
Yeah, the company would just not be able to function in America.
Yeah. And I'm sure that wouldn't necessarily kill the company because there's lots of other markets for this now. But it certainly changes your company when you don't have access to the best economy in the world.
Yeah, I mean, and TikTok was largely, I'd say, responsible for a midterms that didn't go the way conservatives thought they'd go. Because there's so much influence. There's an incredible amount of influence that's coming from that app. More so than anyone takes seriously enough.
Yep.
Give us a call. I'd love your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
All right, welcome back to Secio. We are taking your calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. So one of the first bipartisan moves of this Congress has been this proposed legislation coming out of the Senate. It's with Senator Thune and Senator Warner, so Republican and Democrat, to basically give authority to the Commerce Department, the Secretary of Commerce, to restrict access to these apps like TikTok. It doesn't require them to do that, but allows them to restrict access or ban them based off the fact that those are emanating from an adversarial country, so a country that we know it does not have our best interests in mind, or it's not even neutral, but it's actually an adversary. And I think, again, it doesn't say that everything out of China gets banned or that everything out of Russia gets banned. It just says these are the countries that we would list. Most of these are not high-tech countries. So, you know, like, I don't think they're going to be creating apps that are – now, Russia has created plenty. Especially the chats.
There's a lot of those apps that you're not sure what you're downloading, or you know, the facial recognition softwares that are fun and usually have a good gimmick that we all love. Hey, it makes me look like an old man. It makes me look young again. It makes me look like a lot of times those are getting data collecting. It's all data. Look, we all know this. The most valuable resource on all of these apps is the data. It has nothing to do with the actual function of the app most of the time. It's not the game. It's not the with the video clips you can watch. It's not the fun little, clean up your wrinkles. It has to do with the data that they're collecting. That's not always necessarily a bad thing in the sense of they're honest with it. They're giving you a free service, and they are taking what they get with that free service. Facebook does it. Instagram does it. They all do it. They're mining your data, and you're utilizing a free service they're providing. It's a trade here, really. Yeah.
The difference is that most of the U.S.-based companies – would want to protect, we're talking about all those stories in a minute, their users.
Yeah, their private information. They're using your data to sell advertising.
Right.
Those kind of
things. But they don't want the government interference. The difference with TikTok is that they're literally run by a foreign government.
Yeah, as you said, I think it's something to clarify for a lot of people, is that just because TikTok itself is not owned by the CCP,
there is no such thing
as privately owned in the same sense. No. You have to kind of get your head into a different space.
Right. That they actually... To have a business in China, the government not only has to approve it, they have to have complete access and control over all of the information and data.
Yeah.
So who's running the company? China. That doesn't mean they're making all the decisions about what stupid videos to put forward about people dancing.
Yeah.
But what they are doing is every keystroke you make.
That's pretty terrifying.
Not with the app open. Now, this is interesting. James on YouTube wrote, TikTok's unstoppable. You must compete with TikTok, not delete TikTok. If the U.S. deletes TikTok, it's not nearly as influential.
I would usually agree with you, James, but in this instance, I actually disagree. I think that because of sort of their egregious actions, that sometimes it's okay to say you're not allowed to be in this. It's not about the app's functionality.
Right.
Because you're going to say Instagram or Snapchat or any of these options
short videos
have created alternatives that are wildly popular. It's not like Instagram is not wildly popular.
Right.
The difference is the back-end data should be violating, if it's true, should be violating Apple's terms of services in the way their services are protected.
Now, their CEO is going to be testifying in Congress March 23rd, which would be interesting.
It will be interesting. I'll totally watch it.
Xu Zi Chu.
Yes.
I believe I'm saying that, right?
Close.
Right.
Yeah, close.
So this would be the, I guess, is that the U.S. subsidiary CEO?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even there, who's running the company?
Yep. I mean, I'm looking at the information about him. Yeah, he joined the company headquartered in Beijing in March of 2021. He replaced Kevin Mayer, who was the CEO for only 3 months, a Singaporean entrepreneur, and went to the University College in London and received an MBA from Harvard Business School. So you're talking about someone who will be on air and have stuff to say. So
yeah,
I mean, it'll be
gonna,
interesting.
They're gonna say that, you know,
these are big lobbies.
Huge lobby, huge company right now. They have a lot of influence. In fact, that's why I think that this legislation is not a ban. Yeah. This is as far as they could go bipartisan, which is to say, kind of kick the can down the road a little. But what they are trying to do is clarify that Congress believes that these U.S. departments, if necessary, and I think, like you said, it has to meet a very high bar before we start banning things in our country.
For sure.
This would met that.
Yeah. Banning it on a federal level, not just Apple saying, you know, Alex Jones, you're not allowed to have an app anymore.
Right.
No, or Parler, you're not allowed to be on here anymore.
We're not allowing this in our country.
Yeah. And this is interesting.
We've done it with Huawei. We've done it. I mean, this has happened. We're doing it right now with Chinese land purchases. We've done it with Huawei and the 5G they were providing. So the country itself is waking up to the idea of, just because we do business with China, we rely on them a lot, we don't have to let them have free will.
I mean, look, this is from the New York Times, just from a few months ago, and they put that TikTok wrote in a June letter to the U.S. lawmakers that TikTok is led by its own global CEO, who we just referenced, Singaporean, based in Singapore. But this is from the New York Times. It says, but in fact, Mr. Chu's decision-making power over TikTok is limited, and according to 12 former TikTok and ByteDance, which is the parent company, employees and executives, decisions about the service, including moves to emphasize live streaming, as you said, shopping, and those are made by the founder of ByteDance, not by the U.S. subsidiary. So even if they have their U.S. CEO, it is still under the control of Zheng Yiming, who is the founder of ByteDance / TikTok, who again has to deal with the situation. This is not the New York Times giving a puff piece here to the CEO of TikTok. They pretty much said he has limited power because really power is being run by the parent company.
Right. And I think that this is it's a dangerous app, not even because of what it's about. That's the unique part. It's as crazy and wild as these apps.
It's nothing
to do
with
the product.
No one's trying
to restrict free speech or your ability to express yourself. And I feel for people who have probably made a living out of it.
Absolutely. Lots of people.
But you do have to draw some lines. Like, there's no way the Chinese would allow this kind of app to run in their country. In fact, they don't.
No, they do have TikTok, but it is a very different app.
No, but I mean, like an American-run app.
Lord, no. But even the video games are changed. Their movies are changed.
VPNs, but you have to do a lot of work to do it.
I know in China, I'm sure they're much more strict on that.
Yeah.
But in terms of even how TikTok is perceived, it's not presented in the same way. It's the content itself is completely different. It's educational mainly.
Chinese content.
Yeah, it's a Chinese content, and it's very limited in the time that you're allowed to even be on it, especially kids. Again, this is in talking about influencing younger people, and I'm talking about younger people. I'm talking not just teenagers here. We're talking about, let's say, 40 and under. Or 45 and under that are really probably the key demo for TikTok. And I really do believe that a large group of influencers were able to get in there and make it, make their case for the Democratic Party. And that's why it's interesting to see this be bipartisan. And as you said, this may be the only way or the biggest move we can get in terms of under this current administration.
Yeah. This is what TikTok said in response to this. We appreciate some members of Congress remain willing to explore options for addressing national security concerns that don't have the effect of censoring millions of Americans. So are they? Yeah, is they TikTok said a US is acknowledging ban. There
yeah.
that there's national security concerns? I think that they're spiraling.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
Yeah, they're not spiraling in terms of users. No.
But if they get fully banned,
that's not good.
This is the best, still best market in the world.
Yeah, they put
if you
US,
can't sell your product to the United States.
And here's how they flip it. They say a U.S. ban on TikTok is a ban on the export of American cultures and values to billions of people around the world.
What we're telling you is that in other countries, they're not necessarily feeding a bunch of the
You're
American
content. You're not getting the American content.
No. And in China, they specifically make sure they're not. So they're getting a very tailored content that's highly restricted, goes through all the government censors, and like you said, even limits the amount of time a child could use on it because we. But they would love making robots out of your kids.
Yeah, and that's what they do. Yes. And that's the way the thing is. And again, this really has nothing to do with the content that's on this app.
No, you can, there's so many places to put that content.
Yeah, I think, of course. This is about the back end.
That are actual.
What's happening in the back end.
Right. And we know what's happening with their back end is that they could, they have access to all of your data. They can take all of your data. That includes your IP that you're writing. Just think about it that way. If you are writing anything creative on your phone or work-related, they're getting the keystroke. When you get keystrokes, do you realize they're getting everything you look for in your phone, every email you send, everything, every contact you have?
Yeah. And you probably clicked allow.
Oh, you'd have to use their terms.
You know, I mean, it's not like it's hidden. It's just no one reads your terms and services. We all know this.
No. But the difference between even their terms and services of like a private company having access to that is that they cannot do anything about the fact that the Chinese Communist Party gets full access into all of that data. And so, again, whereas we're free speech advocates, you cannot be, don't let them fool you with that. There's plenty of places.
Yeah, what is interesting, I am a free speech advocate, maybe to a fault. TikTok is interesting because it is all algorithm generated. You're not really ever deciding what you're wanting to see.
Right.
It's giving you what you would, what they think you would like. And that is, to me, the most dangerous part of it for kids. It's because it's not even about your kids making the right decision in terms of the content.
Right.
It's about TikTok deciding what to put in their feed. You could say the same for YouTube. You could say the same. Those are American companies that are a little bit more regulated and a little bit more, if we want to say, have boards set up to protect. Even if I don't think they do a great job at it sometimes, they're at least doing something. You can at least set some parameters. But TikTok, the main thing is that if you want to actually go after the content, it's not a choice. If you're on the app, you're going to get served with stuff that you're not going to necessarily like. And if you're a kid on that app, bad news. Let's give us a call, though, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're in the middle of our matching challenge right now in the month of March, Jordan.
Yeah, double the impact your donation at ACLJ.org. If you, again, we've got a group of donors that will match every donation that comes through in the month of March. Donate today, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we're talking about the one hand Congress making a move on TikTok. I think, listen, last week's decision by the Biden administration, I think because they don't want to highlight it because they're so concerned about China all the time and upsetting China. But is that they announced last week that you've only got 30 days to get it off all federal devices.
Yeah, that came out last week from the Biden administration. So yeah. That kind of flew under the radar. A lot of people didn't see that because I think we've just seen so much of the talk about it. We've seen the states doing it, but this is from the federal government.
Yeah, so it's risen to the level where it's not just red states. It's not just red states that have done it through the use of their Wi-Fi that's provided by the state. But now you've seen the Biden administration itself has banned it from all federal employees. That tells you a lot about how dangerous they think this is, that they want it off every federal device, regardless of how influential their lobby is.
Yeah, let's go to phones. Let's go to Whitney, who's calling in Texas about this. Whitney, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I know this is kind of out of your lane as legal experts, but I'm a parent who has teenagers who have had TikTok on their phone, and, you know, we've pressed the X and deleted the app, but I'm pretty sure there's stuff embedded. How do we as parents find the resources necessary to kind of undo the imprinting that's probably on the phone?
It's a very good question. And I don't know if I have the definitive answers. I had the same thing. Look, I
right. When
I
you can't delete hide an from app, it's really like it's taking some of the storage.
Make sure you
off.
Deactivated your accounts as well.
That's I think what you're talking about.
Because that's what I did. I've deactivated my look, I'll be honest and tell you, I was a TikTok user. Then Rick Rennell said, "What are you doing?" And I said, it's fun. It's a fun video app. And I actually got some good traction on there. I ended up deleting it and also deactivating your account. I think those are things you could do. That's not to say there's not things embedded in there. I don't really know the ins and outs, if I'm being honest. I'm not a tech side. We can probably find out.
People think when they delete the app, they delete it. You haven't really. If you haven't deactivated your account, all you're doing is taking the app off of your phone for that moment. Because if you ever go back to the app store and you want that same app again, it downloads faster. It's already ready to go.
A lot of times it has a lot of the data already ready. What is interesting is I've seen this conversation happen. I don't know enough about it to really commentate on it, other than saying there's a lot of information about browser-based social media and how that's actually potentially a little safer, because if you're going to, let's say, Twitter.com, you're going to Instagram.com, you have a safeguard between you and just access to your phone. It's no different than visiting a website. So there is a conversation that's happening amongst that too, which is, the app is really where, and again, I'm no expert on this, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The app is where you're really giving them the rights to everything, because it is installing something onto your phone instead of you accessing your phone, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's a whole deal to do it. There's ways to delete your account. There are ways to deactivate your account. You can look at it. Make the decision for yourself. You're grown up. If you're an adult, I'm not telling you have to do this.
Is highly regulated. The unique part about this is not that that these apps aren't out there to get your data, so that's how they make money. And they can sell it back to advertisers and shit like that. The difference with TikTok and all of these other companies, like them or not, is that TikTok's data goes to the Chinese Communist Party. On every right now, until that 30 days is up, that it's federal officials, that could include law enforcement, that could include security. If it's on your Wi-Fi, we are all getting much more educated about how all this works. I think because people, their kids are watching it more closely.
Yeah.
And also the fact that what are you giving up with? So you're always giving something up to get services for free.
It's just the truth.
So when they're going to give you a free platform to put out what you want, and you can even make money off of it, you are going to be giving something up of your privacy. The question is, one thing for Twitter or Instagram or by Facebook to have that information, and another for the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, you can even turn to knowing who the CEO is of these companies, and they're people that we're all sort of familiar with, whether you like it or not.
It is not so shady. Let's just be honest. Yeah. This is a shady Chinese-run influence campaign.
Who's had plenty of time to readjust, and it seems
to have sold.
Yeah.
They could have sold to a company in a safer place, let's put it that way.
Yeah, if you're running a business, maybe encourage your boss or whoever it is, if you're running it, to put in these restrictions.
But here's
on
the,
your
here's
Wi-Fi.
The bizarre flip side to this. While that's happening with TikTok, the Federal Trade Commission is asking for all communication received or sent by Elon Musk as head of Twitter. All, not limited to subject matter.
Yeah, the liberals' favorite boogeyman now.
And they're saying this is based off an older consent decree about privacy of Twitter users that was signed before he even bought the company. But, I mean, they are literally asking for, which to me, this brings up, this goes the other way. This is the weaponization of government. Every piece of communication sent by Elon Musk, why now?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why now is because he exposed, so we now know it's because of the
Twitter files.
The Twitter files, which honestly got a lot of pop initially.
Well, the real hot stuff was up front, and then it sort of became very nuanced if you're into the details.
The FTC specifically asked, too. I mean, they are still doing the bidding of the deep state. Why did all emails related to why Jim Baker was fired? What was the reason Jim Baker was fired? He's the former general counsel of the FBI who then went over to Twitter and was the one blocking Hunter Biden's laptop and stewing the whole, it's Russia behind Donald Trump. And, of course, he could be fired as a public company, and he was, again, part of the bad actors at the FBI. But this is the federal government. This is not a Democrat specifically saying this. This is the Federal Trade Commission trying to utilize their powers any way they can to intimidate. I mean, honest, at the end of the day, I don't think that actually...
This is the quote. This is from the Committee on the Weaponization of Federal Government and said... They were searching for information relating to journalists' work protected by the First Amendment, including their work to expose and abuse by big tech and abuses by big tech and the federal government.
Then why would you ask for Jim Baker's information? Why is that in that request? That doesn't have anything to do with that. Or is Twitter selling off too much of its equipment? That's in there.
Yeah, I'm sure when you do that, you take the HR.
Why do you have Twitter Blue? How about for money?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the answer?
It's a business.
Twitter wasn't making any money. Still has never made a dime. So they give people options to utilize more services through.
Yeah.
You know what that really is? Liberals love that blue check mark so much. And they are still so bitter.
That anyone can buy it.
That you can buy it. And the truth is that even when you buy it, it's not the same blue check mark, but it still upsets them because they worked so hard to get one. Yeah. And now it's meaningless, which I love.
Yeah, it was the hardest thing to get, really, on the internet. There was actually a website that was only for people who had the blue check marks that was called the most exclusive club on the internet. I have too. But it does change somewhat. That did change sort of the situation between how you utilize Twitter is the way the verification process happened. But why does the federal government care? Why do they care about a product being released, an add-on bonus? This is where the overreach is getting absurd.
Yeah, I mean, literally, selling off its office equipment. Internal communication, all communication related to Elon Musk by any Twitter personnel, including all communication sent or received by Elon Musk, not limited by subject matter. So it's, I mean, this is just, again, you show the TikTok tutorial saying how government can work, even when it's not 100% of what you want. Then we show the FTC story to show you how weaponized an independent agency that's set up to protect us as consumers is being utilized to go after specific people because of their presumed ideologies. 1-800-684-3110 to join the discussion. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We have our matching challenge. Donate today. Doubly impact your donation. That's aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. So we talked about two moves. One move that I think is good, it's bipartisan. It's probably not everything everybody wants, but it's a step in the, likely in the right direction. I always get a little nervous when Congress gives power over to the executive branch, but what they're doing specifically here is to say, Commerce Department, you can ban TikTok. We're not saying you have to, but we're saying you can, and you can also ban these applications from additional countries, which are countries that are considered adversaries of the United States, Russia in there, Venezuela in there, North Korea, Iran, and Cuba, along with China. The White House has also said they've been supportive of this. So again, seeing some bipartisan moves there. Doesn't mean that TikTok will be 100% banned by our federal government. It doesn't require that. But what we are seeing is the federal government banning it from all of their devices. So that's a Biden order that came from the White House. And we've seen lots of states ban it from either devices or state-paid-for Wi-Fi, like at college campuses, or government buildings. So there's a couple different ways people are going about basically limiting the reach of TikTok. And right now, basically saying if you want to use it, you've got to use it on your own device, and you got to pay for it with your own Wi-Fi or your own 5G.
Your own cell coverage.
Right.
Which then is the next step. Then does an AT&T or a Verizon or a T-Mobile, do they step in and say, hey, we don't like the way the information is being gathered for us? I think you're right.
I think that unless they're mandated by the government, they don't stop business.
Yeah.
Because it's a moneymaker for them right now. And again, that's really not their job. I don't like companies censoring.
No.
Honestly. Unless the government has explained why.
Yeah, I mean, we've had Apple do this. We've had Apple ban apps.
Right.
They're usually more conservative leaning or are sometimes.
And I think that's why some people might hear this and be a little concerned too.
Just that we're stepping in a trap.
Are we stepping in a trap? Now, I look at this legislation, I get some concerned about that.
Okay, why?
Because we're giving power to the unelected bureaucracy again. Why can't Congress just put out a ban?
Yeah. Why do we have to give it the wrong way to do it?
It might be the only way they can get legislation through right now. So I would respect Senator Thune in that sense. Like, this might be the only what they could, this might be the best they could do. And sometimes a divided Congress, they don't want to do nothing on this. They believe it's that big of a threat that they need to do something, and this is as best they can get. Yep. The only issue there is then the Commerce Department, without having to consult Congress, can start banning apps.
Yeah, hey, we'd love to hear from you. I know there's a few people on hold. In the next segment, we're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell. We're going to talk about this along other situations that are happening in China and other places. Give us a call, that we'd love to hear from you. We'll take all these calls, as many as we can, in the final segment as well. 1-800-684-3110. We can take one really quick, though, if we want to.
Let's go.
Let's go to Daniel, who's calling in California on line one. Daniel, welcome.
Hello, my name is Daniel. I'm calling from California. Thank you guys for having me on. Thank you for all your work. I'm coming as an American who has a little brother. And my opinion on TikTok is this. I think TikTok should be banned completely. It has had a negative effect on our Gen Z Americans. If Americans had a problem with Facebook and Instagram, well, Mark Zuckerberg had them set a maximum addiction towards millennials such as myself. TikTok is much worse with their algorithm set up at maximum addiction, and that's not healthy. And TikTok doesn't let creators keep their intellectual property that they create. Unlike Instagram Reels, which is my alternative to TikTok, and I do recommend to everyone.
Well, listen, I think you bring up an interesting point. That's more of a parenting decision. I think if you can come up with an algorithm that gets people addicted, so be it. That's business. That should not be the basis for why we ban them.
Yeah, if you make something so good that people love it, it's hard to regulate that.
Right, what you have to do is parent. At a certain point, it's only about your influence. Your kids get to make decisions too. So this, I think what we can do here is go after the bad guys. There's not that many of them. But this one specifically, we've been told time and time again how dangerous it is, not just to you, but to your own country's national security.
Yep. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ by visiting aclj.org. Coming up next, Rick Grinnell's joining us live. We're going to continue this discussion and talk about other topics as well. Again, this is a great time to call. Get those phone lines loaded up. We'll take them in the final segment. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls, comments, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to stay on this move because we're starting to see more action by the federal government. Both Congress, we've seen Biden White House last week. So the Biden White House last week issued an order that federal employees have, I guess, 30 days to get ticked off their government-provided devices. And then a new legislation announced last night, or the early morning hours of today, a bipartisan legislation out of the Senate. It doesn't completely ban TikTok, but it does give the Secretary of Commerce the clear ability by Congress to ban TikTok. It's probably as, I don't know if it's the best we could get right now or not with bipartisan action, but it also includes, Logan, other countries. So it's not just saying we're just going after the Chinese to go after the Chinese, but other bad actors as well.
I mean, we can kind of read through the lines and see what they're really focusing on and reconnected with them. But we're, you know, what they're focusing on really is still TikTok. However, when you do look at it, we do have to be a little bit broader in the terms of other countries and other nations that may be, you know, trying to influence and trying to get your data. That's mainly the thing, trying to get so much information. But when you do have a country like China, it is a little different.
They're much more high tech.
Yes, it's not like they're much more high tech, and they also are potentially known for using things for nefarious means.
Right.
Not, I mean, just to sell product or whatever it may.
You could see blackmail being used here. You could see secrets, government. I mean, we're talking about classified documents all the time.
There's a reason writing. The federal government is saying no more TikTok on here. And it doesn't have to do with they don't like the videos that are being put in your algorithm.
No, it has nothing to do with the entertainment part of TikTok. That's why I said, if TikTok really just wanted to be TikTok, the huge company, and didn't care about any of that, they say, oh, yeah. They could completely sell off to a U.S.-based or Swiss-based company that has no ownership interest by the Chinese Communist Party, and they would continue to go. Yeah. And they'd be just as big.
All right, we got it.
But they know that that's not really what TikTok cares about being number one. Yeah. It only cares about being number one because of the information they're getting by being number one. So, Rick, I mean, just the first kind of your reaction that to me, I think it kind of underscores what you've been telling everybody about TikTok, which is to get it off your phone. The fact that the Biden administration has instructed all federal employees to do that.
Yeah, look, it is a spyware that is on our phones. I'll just be honest with you. I don't allow it in my house. I don't have, if you have it on your phone, I ask you to leave your phone in the car. I just don't allow anyone into my home that has TikTok. It's a real problem. and I don't want to be vulnerable. Look, other people can make a decision that they like TikTok more than they like, being not spied on, but I just don't want to make that decision. I don't think anyone should. But I do come down on the side of you get to choose your risk. I'm not sure that I support completely banning it in the United States. I think that's pretty drastic. I do think that it's important for intelligence officials or agencies to absolutely ban it. But individuals, are addicted to it. They love it and they know the risks and are still doing it. So I fall within the camp of, if you know the risks, then more power to you. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that, Rick, this from governments, is governments are saying, we know the risk on our devices. This is too risky. On our state Wi-Fi, we're not allowing you, we're not going to let you operate on it. If you want to go home and operate it, you can't. Because I agree with you, I don't like banning things. That's my first stop. When I ever hear ban, I always think, that's not great. Why are we starting with a ban? But I think what's been different is because of folks like you who come from the Intel world, and I think there is some bipartisan agreement here about how dangerous it is. I mean, you said people have described it as, and the danger it poses to our country is that all of these devices, it's like, who needs spies when you've got spies in everybody's pocket?
Yeah, and I as someone who was acting director of national intelligence, I can tell you that we've had to give defensive briefings to individuals who got wrapped up with the communist Chinese strategies unknowingly, and that's a problem. I mean, I've seen it too many times. I've seen local politicians, city councilmen, mayors. Governors, so it's like local and state officials as well as federal officials. I mean, we all know Eric Swalwell and that case. So individuals are getting wrapped up into this, and now the intel community is doing defensive briefings. I've seen it too much. I think it's a real danger.
Yeah, the broader issue, we've got a new statement from the Chinese foreign ministry, Rick, and the statement is basically the U.S. has to change their attitude or they are risking a conflict with China. I think what people always want to know is how much of this is just propaganda and rhetoric, and how much of this is the risk that we actually would be in an actual conflict with China.
Look, when I was ambassador to Germany, I was very aggressive about Huawei. And what I heard constantly in Europe when we would share as much intelligence as we could to say, you can't be buying Huawei. We know they're the cheapest. We know they're coming in with hardware, but it's very unsafe for your governments to do it. I think there was a sense that people believed us, but there wasn't an alternative. And so they were calculating that they needed it, it was cheaper, and they were going to try to work to mitigate the problems. I don't believe you can mitigate the problems. I think it's a real serious problem. I think the Chinese have rhetoric that threatens us constantly. But let me be really clear. When the Chinese came to Alaska and sat with Anthony Blinken, they were repeating the Democratic Party's Black Lives Matter messaging. They were calling us a racist country that were pushing slavery. It was exactly the Black Lives Matter talking points that the Democrats keep pushing. We are in danger when the left critiques and criticizes America in that way, because now our political enemies and others are repeating those claims, and they're false claims.
I mean, even Ricky, this latest statement, which was in English, given about our country. So it's Wang Yi, their most senior diplomat, said, I think this was also a shot at the U.S. This is on our infrastructure. He said, if the United States has not hit the brakes and continues to speed down the wrong path, no amount of guardrails can prevent derailment, which will become conflict and confrontation. So it's like they are watching everything happening in our country. So they know that the talk on the trade derailment is a big topic. So they use all that rhetoric, Rick, in the statement that's threatening us about, you know, action, but it's also, I think it's a nod to say, like you were talking about Black Lives Matter, we're watching your country, and if you are having these infrastructure problems, we've got better infrastructure, we're better at this, and we're going to mock you at the world stage about it.
Look, you can't blame the Chinese for being aggressive in the face of a weak president. What I would say is that the Democrats need to stop with this crazy radical Black Lives Matter talk, because it's damaging us on the world stage. People are beginning to believe that we're a racist, systematically racist country, and we're not. We have problems. We have to confront those problems. But to suggest that somehow the system supports it and wants it to happen is wrong and ridiculous and un-American. So I would say we've got to push back hard. The Democrats have created this problem, much like, you know, I say this is a little bit of a spin, but when the Senate Democrats dropped the Trump sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Putin's pipeline, they helped create a war in Ukraine. There are consequences for weak policies and weak statements.
And I think what we're having to do is we're kind of like Americans in general are having to kind of figure this out on their own. They're listening to shows like this, and then I think a lot of people, once they heard that from you, Rick, got deleted TikTok.
Yeah, I was one of them. I'm the first person to say this. Pretty much Rick's reason of why you should not have this on your phone was enough for me to go, yeah, I probably shouldn't have it on my phone. Because as someone who works in this industry, I obviously always want to be in touch with what's going on. Sure. I actually have a problem when people, you know, work in social media, and they're like, I don't have Instagram. It's like, well, you should, because how are you going to function?
Right.
But I had spent my time on TikTok. I developed at least 100 followers, and I decided it was time to just deactivate and leave. Now, that can't be said for a lot of conservative entities. It can't be said for a lot of media companies.
I'd say most people are still using it.
Absolutely, and maybe utilizing it to the point, like I said, where I think it may have swayed an election. So you got to be careful, like, again, even when you're deciding to pull off of these things, not because of the security person, because of your influence.
Yeah. Rick, as always, we appreciate your commentary, insight into this. A lot of this started with Rick that day where he said on a broadcast, delete it from your phones. And like he said today, don't even allow it in your house. Because I think the tech is so much stronger than what we all understand about the app. And that's what we got so many calls about. Can I even actually delete it off my device?
And the question is,
some of that's a back end with Apple. Some of it's like, how long do they let you decide? I accidentally deleted something. I want it back. You look with the apps that you delete years ago. If you go back and see, they're like ready to re-download.
Yep.
So there's something there. Again, we're going to continue talking. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. 1 second.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Second. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of talk about China, but that's because China's flexing its muscles throughout the world right now. I mean, threatening to get involved directly in the war in Ukraine. That was the latest kind of back and forth. And they basically, their message to the U.S. has been, you better stay out of it. And don't tell us what to do. And then they go through the litany of countries, you know, wars that we've been involved in and conflicts we've been involved in. So they said, you know, we don't tell you. But again, their decision-making is different. They're taking adversarial, potentially adversarial positions to each of our positions. So, you know, it's becoming clearer and clearer. Again, this was not just about economic competition. That's anytime that Joe Biden tries to phrase it that way. Listen, he wouldn't be banning TikTok if it was just about an economic competitor that we have to deal with in the Chinese. It's a new China first, strengthened Chinese Communist Party, came out of COVID with even more power because the world didn't shun them. They should have been shunned by the world. But the world did not shun them. And we got a new piece up at ACLJ.org by Wes Smith. Wes joining us now. China's grand plan for defeating America. You start, Wes, and saying defeat comes in many forms. It's not always you know, an outright military defeat and a technical surrender.
Yeah, China has explicitly stated that it is their plan to diminish our influence in the world, to have the world's largest military, to have the world's largest economy. They have a huge economy right now. Ours is still larger. To do all of that, because as President Xi has stated, their goal, and you know, whenever your enemy, your adversary says something like this, we probably need to take them at their word. His goal is to be the world's only remaining superpower, and they're going about this militarily and economically. Just two quick examples: their military budget continues to increase year after year. Right now, they have about the same size Navy as we do, but with two aircraft carriers. They have more nuclear weapons launchers than we do. 3 years ago, they had 200 nuclear warheads. Now our CIA estimates they have about 1,000. So militarily, they are moving on. They're also buying influence militarily in South America and in Asia, Africa. They're building seaports so they can service their large Navy. They intend to circumnavigate the world with their military power. They have the world's largest standing army. And so militarily they're doing that. But financially, they own us on some level. I mean, we have a $30 trillion debt that the CBO says in the next 5 to 7 years will add another $10 trillion to that. So we have $40 trillion. China already owns over $1 trillion worth of our debt. In other words, basically we're borrowing the money from them. They continue to import more goods here than we ever export to them. So, Jordan, financially and militarily, they are working towards that goal of diminishing our influence and becoming a superpower.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, unfortunately, and we see this with Russia, and we didn't seize the moment. So communism fell, and yet we didn't seize the moment. Something failed in our approach to Russia because we're right back into conflict. Yeah. With call them whatever you want. Later,
it feels very similar.
Yes, and I felt like we've done the same thing with China. They opened up their economy, thought by opening their economy, suddenly that's going to change their whole, and it's actually just made them more dangerous because they will exploit all of our economic needs. They'll develop these apps like TikTok. They don't let their own people use them that way, but they'll keep selling it to us. It's this. I just think we opened up these countries we still have not figured that out. Like, how do we tell them, you know, stop back or, you know, open up your economy. Let's have more dialogue. And that's turned on us with China, where they've made these advancements that you talked about, Wes. And then Russia, they might not be called the Soviet Union anymore, but they are acting in that aggressive way as well.
Yeah,
something just did not work in the down. The what we expected to be the changes or the downfall, it may have had temporary, but it seemed like long-term, still their goal is, how do we take down the U.S.?
Yeah, and they have combined this goal with Russia and Iran. Yeah. Just in the last 2 years, Russia and Iran and China have signed agreements with one another. The one between China and Russia is called a no-limits partnership. They have done joint military exercises. Russia, China, and Iran, joint military exercises, because they do intend to defeat the United States. And again, as I said in my blog on our website, it doesn't necessarily mean defeat on the battlefield in a formal surrender, but the defeat economically and militarily and influence-wise is just as real and just as far-reaching.
And at what point have we gotten it wrong? Where, you know, when we talk about Iran, we make that distinction. We see they have this horrible regime. It's not all the people there. But, you know, I see some people about China say, well, it's about the Chinese Communist Party. It's not all people in China. That may be the case. But when you have the largest standing army in the world, it's not just 20 people.
No,
this is a gigantic force, the Chinese. Even if all Chinese don't benefit, hundreds of millions do.
We have to wrap our head around this a little differently because I think we westernize everything.
We always say, don't make an enemy out of everybody. Mm. But when we've gone to war, you killed all the Germans. Right? You didn't say, it's only the people that had this specific, everything was free, everything was a target at a certain point when you go to a full-scale war because the country is supporting it. And I think that's what I'm talking about, these moments where Russians didn't have to support bringing in another dictator, and they did bring in another dictator. And they're not rapidly rising up to overthrow them.
No.
Because there are enough Russians to overthrow them. There's enough Chinese people to overthrow that Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
They're not.
Well, again, it's a different way of thinking. It's a different mindset.
Because we think everybody thinks like we do. I think.
Right, and I think that's right. I think that's a big part of the American experiment. And the problem with it can be sometimes, too, is that we westernize everything with that. Let's go phone calls quickly because you've been on hold for a long time. Naomi's calling in Alabama on line one. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to say that I believe the government, our government, is spying on us through our devices and through our apps, and I believe that is why they want to ban TikTok, because that is a gateway for China to get into our government system.
TikTok, one, if they want into your government systems, that's a spy on the U.S. government, but two, I mean, they're taking every one of your keystrokes and they're giving it to the Chinese Communist Party. If Facebook was found to be giving that to the U.S. government, they would lose all their users. Like, I mean, Facebook would have a serious, not all of them, maybe, but they would probably be done.
Rick said a lot of people take the risk knowing that they like the content.
So I'm not, yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't think that
I don't know.
I think there's an issue with spying. A device have made it easier for all actors to spy, and you'd sign a lot of agreements. But at the end of the day, if these American companies were exposed to be giving all of our data over, every one of your keystrokes over to the FBI or the CIA, then yeah, I think those companies would be facing some serious trouble even continue to have enough people to operate. Like even with Rick said, like with the balance, I think when it's right here at home, that would even make it more dangerous.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the danger in there, and the danger in TikTok is, again, we're all being very easily exposed to what's happening. When your federal government starts making these kind of moves, and when your state governments that are more, when the red states start moving, and then all of a sudden the blue states do as well, you got an interesting situation at hand. Yeah, this is not something that
you know, it's serious.
You know, that's what I mean. You know, it start when things actually become not politicized, which is just about never. That is a pretty big move. Yeah. That you need to keep yourself aware of.
And very rare in our country. All right, folks, as always, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge right now, and that is a critical time for us financially. As you double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, and it gets a great time to support our work. It's all up at ACLJ.org. And again, with any of your donations, it's a $25 donation. That triggers a matching $25 donation. So it's like $50 for us. Be involved if you can. Donate today at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.